Greetings. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, we bring you greetings from the saints in St. Thomas. Yes, Virgin Islands. After 2 years, it's nice to be back in Texas. Good to see you all. And we have been keeping well and quite busy. Really busy. And it is so nice to come and to see you all and our family. My son Lincoln, his dear wife, and children. And we're going to spend a month with you, give you some good ministry by the grace of God, and be with you in your weeknight prayer meetings likewise. It's good to have fellowship. We're all sailing on the same ship. And as we sometimes say, we have fellowship as well as swallowship. By that I mean, we feed also on food. And say it's wonderful to have spiritual food and physical food. As of now, we're going to give you some spiritual food from God himself. So I want you to turn to the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk, that is one of the minor prophets. And we find in these prophetic statements from the minor prophets, they are very, very relevant for our times. And they draw us closer to our God. They drive us on our knees. And of course, we would see through some of these teachings from the minor prophets the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ is not too far off at all. Not too far off. We just have to take a hard, long look at the times that we are presently seeing before us and the things that are taking place in our world. Not only in America, where we live, but in our world. And it would help to motivate our activity for our God, as God would guide us, guard us, and govern us in his service. Now, where we find Habakkuk, have you found it? Habakkuk. His name means embracing. Embracing. And surely he embraces the revelation that God had given to him. But we see something else about Habakkuk. He was perplexed because of his surroundings in the land of Judah. He was perplexed. He was vexed in his spirit because of all what he saw in the land of Judah. We're going to give you a little piece. We're not going to give you too much to crowd your mind. We're going to give you just enough that you can feed upon, that you can study, that you can digest properly, so that at least God will send you home with something to think about. We read the burden which Habakkuk, the prophet, did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry? And thou wilt not hear. Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore, the law is slack, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore, wrong judgment proceedeth. Chapter 2. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will send to me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Of course, the word it really means, when we checked it out, he. Verse 4, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Chapter 3. And a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet upon Shigionot. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. In wrath, remember mercy. In wrath, remember mercy. Chapter 1, the trial of faith. Chapter 2, the teaching of faith. Chapter 3, the triumph of faith. This is an amazing minor prophet book that God has shown to us. Many times in Habakkuk we find the word violence. 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 If you read Habakkuk in your spare time properly and carefully, you will notice that the prophecy of Habakkuk is speaking to us today in the 21st century. And that was written way back in BC, before the Lord Jesus Christ came to earth. And I'm certainly believed that when you listen to the news on radio or see it on television, and news that are happening all around you, it causes you also to be perplexed There was anxiety from verse 1 to 4 of chapter 1. And then we notice the answer for Habakkuk from chapter 5, from verse 5 to 11. And then there was the appeal from Habakkuk, verse 12, right up to chapter 2 and verse 1. And so there was a burden, an oracle, a message, a revelation that Habakkuk received from God Almighty. Because the land of Judah, the southern kingdom, the royal tribe, the tribe from which our Lord Jesus Christ came from, there were dispersion throughout the land because of sin, national sin. And there were dispersion. The same with Israel today. Look at it. Nationally speaking, Israel is in apostasy. Apostasy really means a turning away from the word of God, a denying of the word of God, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and licentious living, turning away from the truth of God's precious word. Nationally speaking, the Jews, individual Jews, are getting saved today. The Spirit of God is moving upon the hearts of individual Jews. And individual Jews and Gentiles are saved today. Blessed be God. But you and I notice the conditions in the land of America, throughout the whole wide world. The violence is like the days of Noah. The corruption is on repair. Human beings can't repair it. Only God can. No human being can do anything at all about the violence that we see in the land of America or in the world. Only God himself can clean up the mess. They may be able to check it temporarily, but no human being can clean up the mess that we see in the world or in the land of America. Only Jesus Christ, he can. Just read through the Old Testament and you see that in every age, in every dispensation, was a mess at its end. And God had to intervene. And when God intervenes, God does the job and do it perfectly, completely. Because God does not make any mistake whatsoever. God knows what he's about. He knows exactly what he's about. And so the message that the prophet received from God Almighty was the kind of message that burdens his heart because of the anxiety of that which troubled him, worried him. There was the complaint to God Oh Lord. He was crying out to God for quite a long time. Let's bring this home, beloved. Let's bring it right home to our hearts. You and I, we cry out to God for quite a long time. We are calling upon God. We want to know, where is God? Is there any doubt about God? Where is God? Naturally speaking, there are times when doubts come into our hearts about God. Naturally speaking, don't tell me that in your Christian life, you don't doubt God one time or not. Don't tell me that. But what we do, we carry our doubts to God. That is the most beautiful thing ever. When I doubt God, and I'm saved for over 50 odd years, and when I find myself doubting God, I carry my doubts to God. Some people, when they doubt God, they deny God. Habakkuk doubted God, but Habakkuk sought God with his doubts. He didn't deny God. And God gave him answers. That's the beauty, my beloved. That's the beauty. God knows that we're going to doubt him at times because we want to know, where is God? Look at what we're seeing in the land of America. Where is God to intervene and do something about what we're seeing in the land of America? Listen, God make us real as we read the word of God. God tests our faith in him to see if our faith are strong in him. God put us through the test. God doesn't tempt us. God tempts no one. But God Almighty put us through the test to see if our faith in him is strong. Is strong. And he knows how to put us through the test. Oh yes. We all have an experience. Every single one of us. We have an experience. Where God tests us. Put us through the fire. Put us through the fire in order to purify us and refine us and to strengthen our faith in him. To see if our faith is genuine. We got to take God seriously. We got to take God seriously. God is no sham or camouflage or make believe. We can't take God for granted. We must take God seriously as believers. Look to the scriptures. God judged the northern kingdom Israel. Judged them. Disciplined them. God judged the southern kingdom Judah. Disciplined them. God will discipline any one of us. Regardless who we are. These prophets, they were burdensome. Isaiah, Nahum, Malachi, all these prophets, they had a burden. We have got to have a burden too. We have got to have a burden for the land of America, for the world. And he was crying out to God for a long time. Oh Lord, how long shall I cry? How long? And thou wilt not hear. Lord, I've been crying out to you all the time. But apparently you're not hearing me. Our Lord Jesus Christ cried on the cross of Calvary toward his Father. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from hearing me? I cry unto thee in the daytime and the night season, but thou wilt not hear me. We've got to keep crying to God Almighty. We cannot roll up or fold up. We've got to follow up in our prayers. We've got to feed the fires of our prayers with tears and with the word of God, so that all our difficulty in prayer would disappear. We have got to keep praying. A life of prayer, we can't give up. God says, Habakkuk, you know when I'm going to answer you? You must go to the watchtower. Go to the watchtower. Go to the watchtower. In chapter 2. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower. And will watch to see what he will say unto me. And what I shall answer when I am reproved. This is our watchtower. This building here, where we come for prayer. We've got to watch out for the enemy. We've got to ambush the enemy with prayer. Because the enemy is at a distance and coming. We've got to go to the watchtower to get the answer. Asaph, in Psalm 73, God had to send him to the house of the Lord. Asaph, you need answers because of the wicked prospering around you, and you become envious and jealous of the wicked. You go to the temple, go in the sanctuary, Asaph, and you'll get the answer. We got to go to the house of the Lord to get answers from God. God don't always answer us at home or outdoors, but when we come in here, because we come in here to ambush the devil, and Satan is afraid when Satan sees God's people praying. He's scared. In fact, Satan runs. Satan is running. Satan is not advancing anymore. He's not on the offensive anymore. Before the cross, he was. But after his defeat at the cross, Satan is more on the defensive than the offensive. And Satan tried to use delayed tactics against God's people. Now, if you and I are fully armored, once you and I are fully clad with the whole armor of God, Satan won't be able to throw any fiery darts at you and I. And he won't be able to build any inward or outward perimeter in your heart or mind to set us up as targets. The inward perimeter is pride that caused him to fall. The outward perimeter is the angelic conflict. And it is a constant battle between good and evil. But because you and I put on the whole armor of God and the greatest resource, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit for all saints, because we keep on praying constantly, our prayers become very, very effective for the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Avail it much. Satan won't be able to build in you or me any kind of perimeter. There'll be no loopholes at all. Why? Because we come to the house of the Lord to get answers from the Lord. Oh Lord, how long shall I cry? You will not hear. We are praying for our children to get saved. We want our children in heaven. We are going to heaven, but we don't want our children to go to hell. And we keep praying for them year in and year out. You can't give up. You cannot throw in the towel. You cannot quit. You can't do that. You cannot throw in the sponge. You have to continue to pray. God will hear. God is near. Oh yes, he is. Ruth know that. I know that. Oh yes. God is near. He will hear. The just shall live by faith. And the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And the just that live by faith is faithful and fruitful. And will seek fellowship with God's people. Oh Lord, how long shall I cry? Thou wilt not hear. Even cry out unto thee of violence, thou wilt not save. But listen. Verse 5. Just a little piece of this, and I'll finish. Behold ye among the heathen, and regard, and wonder marvelously. For I will work a work in your days, which ye will not believe, though it be told you. This is God speaking. God gives an answer for Habakkuk. His response to Habakkuk is this. I'm going to use an ungodly and ruthless nation. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. What God is telling Habakkuk is unbelievable. It's unfathomable. Habakkuk can't understand it, and you and I will never be able to understand it, no matter how we try. God is sovereign, and God is saying to Habakkuk, I am going to use an ungodly, idolatrous, ruthless, wicked nation to discipline Judah. How in all the world a thrice righteous, holy God a God of justice, a God of judgment, a God of love. And he is going to use an ungodly nation. And they don't know this because they don't know God. An ungodly nation to chastise his people. God is sovereign. God is sovereign. And God does things in his sovereignty to glorify himself. Listen, take God seriously. Beloved, take God seriously. God is true. God is veracity, true. God is real. God is righteousness. God is unchangeable. God is justice. God's justice demands his justice. God's righteousness demands his righteousness. And what God's justice demands, his righteousness executes. And God said to Habakkuk, Habakkuk, this is a marvel. This is marvelous. I'm going to work such a work in your days that you will never be able to understand it. And then the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 13, he quoted from Habakkuk to the Jews in his time. He says, he despises and wonder and perish. I work a work in your days, a work which shall in no wise believe, though God has sent it. The same warning. The same warning that God gave Habakkuk for the Jews is the same warning the Apostle Paul gave the Jews in his time. But I take you to the cross. The cross, the cross. The bloodstained cross, the cross of Christ I see. It tells me of that precious blood that once was shed for me, shed for rebels, shed for sinners. The cross is indeed the remedy. Blessed be God. Is it a solution? Only go back to the cross. We too, as believers, can go back to the cross where we have fallen short. We can go back. The answer to all of our dilemma, to our perplexity, the cross where Jesus died. He can save sinners today. Yes, in spite of ISIS. I'm not saying that God is using ISIS now. Don't get me wrong. Because while the Chaldeans are taking charge of all the land, we notice ISIS wants to do that too. But I'm not saying God is using ISIS. Because God wants to save ISIS too. But if any of these nations today think that they are in charge, they are wrong. They are not in charge. God give them a limit, a measure. They can't go beyond that measure. And God is going to judge ISIS and Al-Qaeda and all of these different factions. But the cross, behind all of this, is a bright hope. The cross. Jesus wants to save you. Do we have anyone in here today and you're not saved? Do we? Do we have anyone in here and you're in a backslidden state? Do we? I read chapter 3. where it says, O Lord, I've heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath. Remember, mercy. In wrath, remember mercy. God prefers mercy more than judgment. His final ultimatum is mercy, not judgment. You can come under the mercy of God. Receive Jesus Christ. Believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe. That's all you've got to do. That's faith. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us know. Let us know. Let us know. You're having problems. Let us know. We can help you from the Bible. We can lead you to Christ. We shall be around by the grace of God, the will of the Lord, to do that. Heavenly Father, we bless thee once again for showing us mercy in the midst of wrath. Oh, thank God for mercy. Lord, thank God for mercy. Human beings don't show mercy to one another. Thank God for mercy. Hallelujah. Maranatha. The Lord cometh. Bless our hearts today. As we rejoice in Jesus. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen.